At America's Best, we know your eyes do a lot.
These eyes blink, wink, and roll.
These eyes tried to parallel park, then abandoned that idea.
These eyes spotted their ex across the grocery store, then pretended to compare pasta sauces.
These eyes fell asleep mid-scroll and liked a photo from 2014.
And these eyes know they deserve to be seen by the best doctors and associates at America's Best. Every eye deserves better.
The Burt Show.
Could this be the greatest love story of all time? But only if you get your butt on a plane. Are you getting your butt on a plane today?
I don't know.
Abigail!
What do you mean you don't know?
Don't do it for you. Do it for us. We need this.
You need this?
We need this. Cassie and I have been with our men's for almost 20 years. We need this.
Do you know what I do at night, Abby? I'm married, and after the kids go to bed, I go sit in my car and watch Netflix. Now, Kristen has very graciously offered me her house to chill out at, and I will take her up on that. Sometimes I need to be close. I sit in my car and watch Nobody Wants This by myself, all right? While my husband is inside doing his thing. And it's not because I don't want to spend time with him. We just can't watch TV inside our RV because the kids will wake up. I need you to go to London and get firemen carried so my pitiful existence can have some spark in it while I get through this season of life.
Okay. So for a backstory, if this is your first time listening to the show, you're probably like, what the heck is going on? About 6 weeks ago, I took a big vacation, spent a week in Dublin, a couple days in London, and a sorority sister canceled on me, so I decided to go on a date because I had no one to hang out with in London, and it was a really magical date. Like, it was just really wonderful, and I had an amazing time, and I had only booked like a day and a half to spend in London, so I had to go back, and the entire plane ride home, I was just like, I shouldn't be on this plane. I should be getting a forehead kiss in an English pub right now. I should not be here. So I was just kind of like determined to go back, and I had pretty much been begging for a couple of days off so I can go back. And now that I'm supposed to be leaving today, I'm just kind of like, what am I doing?
What am I doing with my life?
What am I doing?
What am I doing? Living out every girl's romantic fantasy.
It's like flying to another country, getting your passport stamped. So
for your international love. There's a song about this. International love.
It's international love. But it's been 6 weeks at this point to where the date is starting to feel like a figment of my imagination.
It wasn't, Abby. We were here when you told the story.
I know.
And it was incredible.
You're gonna let too much time pass.
Too much time has passed, which is why I was trying to go back ASAP, because I'm like, the more time that passes, the weirder it's gonna get. Mm-hmm. And now I'm here, I'm like, do I even remember what he looks like? You know what I mean? Like, it's becoming so faded in my memory that I'm kind of like, maybe it wasn't that great. Maybe I'd like made it up in my head. Like, maybe, you know, I had one too many Guinnesses and I've just like conjured this up in my mind, and it's just going to be like such a letdown when I get there.
Okay, you had told us the other day that you have done something similar and it completely backfired and blew up in your face.
Yes. And so this is my second rodeo, maybe flying out to see a man. And I think I may have told this story on air before, like in my first couple of weeks, but I had like a massive crush on this dude in college. And granted, this was maybe not as well planned and well thought out as this time around is going, but I knew this is me stepping into crazy. This is me cannonballing into psycho. I had family in the city that he lived in, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll just go out and visit that family for the weekend, and I'll just conveniently hang out at this bar that I know he goes to a lot, and we're just going to bump into each other and like fall in love with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, he like hard launched his girlfriend that weekend.
Oh.
And so it was just kind of like worst case scenario. So I was like, this is humiliating. And to be fair, that's more in the category of I've made it up in my head, whereas this is like more real. But still, I'm like having PTSD from the shame that I felt of like, God, I'm just so stupid thinking that like life could be kismet and magical when in reality he was in bed with another
girl.
You're
not stupid, you're bold.
Yeah.
One person's stupid line. Is another person's, but I get it.
There's a thin line. I don't know. The first time around was pretty stupid. That was not smart.
Well, the first time around, your crush didn't fireman carry you to another bar. You didn't have an enemies to lovers banter thing going on. Did you spend the entire night drinking and flirting with him?
No.
No, but did you do all that with London Boy?
Yes.
I feel like this is one of those moments that when you go, no matter what happens, like let's say it goes and it's a dud and you don't have that same magical spark, you can still look back and be like, I invested in myself. This was a really cool thing for me to do. I took a chance on love, so it didn't pan out. Now I've got a cool story to tell. And if it does work out, you have a really cool story to tell.
On Monday. So that's where I'm at. I was looking at Delta and I was like, gosh, I should just pocket the money, cancel the flight, like... But then he texted me last night and I was like,
perfect.
I'm a go. So thanks, King, for texting me and reassuring me that I should at least go for it.
Yeah, I'm
you
so
don't
excited.
Want to live do we, wondering what would happen.
You don't have to disclose if you don't want to, but what like how was the text? What was the text?
Oh, I'm not gonna say anything.
She going to London. She gonna get us some.
Ooh, ooh. Drop your socials so we can follow the whole trip.
I thought you were about to say social security number.
No.
Oh, it's at the Abby Murphy. I will be posting because he doesn't follow me. I was very particular about him not following me because I was like, I don't want this man to know who I am. I'm going to be a little bit cryptic. I'm not going to be like super in your face about posting just in case he has like a burner account or something, which I don't think he does. But yeah, if you want to follow along on the journey, I fly out at 5 tonight. The Abby Murphy on Instagram.
Yay!
The Burt Show.
Ooh, Katie's in trouble. Ooh, Katie's in trouble. On a scale of 1 to 10, if you're in the hot seat, how much on fire is your bum bum?
Oh, it's melted.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's how all your stories start.
Maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe I did do something.
Before you tell everybody the infraction, mm-hmm. or at least the infraction that your lady feels is an infraction, give us the history of your current relationship.
Okay, so for the past, like, couple of months, I've been dating a woman and we're currently in a long distance relationship. So it's not like I get to see her all the time, but we talk all the time and we're still kind of in that honeymoon phase and it's all like the lovey-dovey thing and it's great.
And didn't she just surprise you? Like, didn't she just come into town and like surprise you with your all's like first like face-to-face?
Yes. So like our first face-to-face, she set it up. She reached out to my friends and she tricked me. I thought it was just going to be a weekend without her. And she tricked me and was like, nah, I'm going to see you. And ever since then, we've tried to come up with our schedule of when's the best time to see each other because long distance is already hard.
Mm-hmm.
So like this past weekend, I saw her this past weekend and things have been going well.
So you went to go see her this past weekend?
Yes.
Nice.
I went to go see her. And then I got into our first little conflict.
Oh, no.
Mm, that's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about it. So at the end of last week, our social media producer, Rebecca, posted a post on the Burt Show's page, right? And it was basically a trending TikTok trend, right?
Mm-hmm.
That has some song and it's her and I doing a dance together. And the caption read what, Rebecca?
The caption read, when it's Friday and you're not going to see your work wife until Monday.
Now, for those who don't know, Rebecca and I, we work in the same studio. Like, we're really close. Like, that is my work wife.
Mm-hmm.
Babe. Baby.
Okay. Oh, this is not
in trouble.
Yeah, this is not. Hey, you're going the wrong way. What is happening?
She's gonna kill me now. She's gonna kill me now. And so that was posted, and under there, Rebecca made her comment, my wife in Borat voice, and I commented back. I was like, the best work wife I could ever ask for. Not thinking anything of it. The weekend goes by. Like, it's been days since this video has been posted. And then yesterday, I get a text. And the text reads, and mind you, this text is from my girlfriend. And it says, I saw your quote unquote work wife post.
Mm-mm.
Or she put work wife in quotations.
Yeah. We are going to have to talk about that later.
Mm.
Oh,
we need to talk later.
Okay. And you talked about it later?
Yeah, we did.
You didn't know your phone in the river?
No. I tried. Like, so when I get a text like that, and the thing is, I got this text during work, so I'm already anticipating, like, oh my gosh. And it's going through my head of how bad this is going to be. My nerves are on edge. I hate texts like that, especially when you can't address it right then and there, and you're just building it up all day long. Like, how bad is this going to be? What is she going to say? So hours go by. I call her. And I'm not trying to talk about this. So I'll talk about everything else. How's your day going? How's work been?
You're avoiding it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm big on avoiding stuff like this because I hate conversations like this. And I already have knots in my stomach and I'm an overthinker. So I think worst case scenario about everything. So I avoid it.
I would ask you if you're a confrontational person, but sometimes I feel those questions are better asked of the best friend. Mo, would you consider Katie confrontational?
Anything but.
Anything but.
She's
okay.
A Pisces. She's an escape artist.
Now, in your girlfriend's defense, if my husband were to post a video with his work wife and have the cutesy comments, I would definitely have feelings about it. Not the fact that he had a work wife, but that there was this fun banter going on publicly.
That they're flaunting it?
Yes. But if he doesn't really work the same, like, I have a work wife. It's our business manager, Amy. And we joke about it. My husband knows. But I wonder if it's a little different because she and I are both straight. Mm-hmm. Whereas there might be, like, I know, Rebecca, you come out and said you're bi. Katie, you're a lesbian. Is it because that you guys could be theoretically compatible, even though I don't think there's anything sketch
so
going on?
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm not saying there's a
chance. He's just making it worse and worse
romance.
And worse.
No, I'm just trying to point out.
This romance.
That's a song, Abby. No.
You guys are super professional and you're just friends, but I'm saying from the perspective of an outsider girlfriend who maybe doesn't know Rebecca very well, doesn't know your dynamic in the office, is Rebecca perhaps a threat? Because Rebecca is stunning and her hair looks on fire right now.
I looked busted in that TikTok, which is so funny. And I have seen Katie's girlfriend and she is gorgeous. So I do take this as a comment that she's seen my inherent sexuality. And she finds me attractive maybe in some way.
Riddle me this, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. Does Katie's girlfriend finish her sentences like you do?
Oh, wow.
Often in this room.
Wow,
Tommy.
Whispering sweet nothings to each other, Tommy?
Hey. I'm just saying, Katie got a big thing of flowers yesterday. I didn't know it was. Was it from her girlfriend or was it from Rebecca? I didn't know.
Were those flowers for you?
Yeah.
Those things were massive.
I know.
I could smell them in the lobby.
This dude came through the door carrying these big flowers. I mean, they were gigantic.
They were massive.
And he just goes, the Burt Show? And I pointed him to the reception area. And I'm thinking, oh, we just come out with the Kylie Minogue interview. I'm thinking Kylie Minogue's people sent the Burt Show flowers for the interview. They were for Katie.
Yeah. But your girlfriend sent them?
Yeah, she sent them.
So you guys must be, okay, so we're jumping all over the place. First, how did the conversation go?
The conversation went a little bit better than I initially had expected. But she was a little too calm for me. It was, hey, I know we haven't addressed this before, but this whole work-wife situation thing, like, where do you stand with that in the office? And this is how I feel about it. She's like, that's something that can make me uncomfortable. Like, she says that she hates it when people use that term with, like, people that they work with. She's like, I hate that type of thing. And she's like, I didn't know that you and Rebecca were that close. And I'm like, well, now you know.
Did the flowers get sent after the conversation?
Yeah,
because they just... Sure.
Interesting that they got sent to the office where Rebecca happens to be.
Oh.
Flexed on them.
Yeah. That's a definite,
what are
like,
you doing? You are making things worse.
Yeah, that's the last set of flowers you're getting, Katie.
But I
hope they're still alive.
It's very obvious. Like, why she could send them to Katie at home, or she could send them to work to be like, Rebecca, she's got a girl.
So I did get these flowers after she had sent me that text, and that's what I thought, Cassie. It's a way to be like, I'm always watching. Mm. I know where you work.
That's a way of peeing on her territory?
Yes. Yeah. And you saw how big those things were.
I saw the flowers. I want someone to pee on my territory when those flowers.
Like, that was heavy.
I don't even think I can. That is the biggest floral arrangement I have ever seen.
It was huge.
She gotta like you because that costs some money.
Yeah, my mom saw him. She's like, "What have I been doing wrong my whole life?"
Like, full disclosure, I'm like, God, did somebody die?
Yeah, it's a relationship.
All right. Well, okay. For now, I've bounced back.
Okay, you bounced, obviously, because of the flowers, even though that seemed to be more of a territorial move than anything. But you and your lady are good.
Yes.
And
yes.
You and Rebecca are no longer kissing each other goodbye every day.
Nope.
The Burt Show.
Exciting news just came out yesterday for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're getting a second chance at the Super Bowl.
Hey! Oh.
Finally. It will be in 2028, Super Bowl 62. The NFL just announced yesterday that Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Stadium will host the Super Bowl in 2028 officially.
That's exciting.
Maybe the Cowboys.
Tommy.
Oh, that's so rude.
Tommy, right? Why? Not right now. Not right now, Tommy. Okay? It's about Atlanta right now, okay? Oh, look at him. Look how much fun he's having at my dispense.
I will say, even though last time we weren't like crazy about the halftime show, I will say the city of Atlanta showed up and showed out. So I went downtown. We didn't go to the game, but we went to like all the pre-Super Bowl festivities and stuff like that. And Atlanta really did like made itself look top notch, top tier. And then I'm trying to remember, we also went to the Foo Fighters show. Because there was all so many concerts, and there was just like the city of Atlanta, I really felt like stepped up and was a shining example of what a host city should be for the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
minus our lackluster halftime show.
Everything that surrounded the Super Bowl when it was here was fire. Like
right?
Everything, all of the events, the way that it was handled,
it was
the city, everything.
It was just like top notch. And like when you went to some of those like VIP tents and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. I'm a foodie. And so there was a bunch of Top Chef alum that were in town cooking and stuff. And when I saw Michael Vitaggio, I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. and then, like, yeah, the Foo Fighters, what they set up for the Foo Fighters performance, it was just so I'm excited to have that energy back in our city again.
I am, too.
Do you think they're going to get the musical act right this time? Because
yes.
There was so much backlash last time. I wonder if they're going to refocus on what people want or if it's going to be like Olivia Rodrigo.
That's the question. That's going to be what everybody is talking about because that's the only place they dropped the ball. And after seeing LA get that LA star-studded mm-hmm. show, it just seems like Atlanta deserves that. I mean, Maroon 5 is Maroon 5, but whatever. We need an Atlanta-based halftime show. They got to get it right this time.
Oh, my God. How great would it be if they could get Outkast together?
Yeah, because they just had Big Boy. They didn't have Andre. And Big Boy and Andre haven't performed together in so long. Like, that would be epic.
But this would be the stage
uh-huh.
for it.
It would. I wouldn't put my money on that.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't put my... It would be incredible. And like if we're saying there's a chance, I would think like there's maybe like a 1% chance Andre 3000 would do that.
And even if he does, y'all know he's gonna go out there with the flute. He's gonna go out there and mess up the whole thing.
Even though he is badass on flute.
He is though. He can curse
that
flute.
I don't know if that's something you want to see during a Super Bowl halftime show.
Not the Super Bowl.
But all right, Cass, what did you do yesterday?
I voted for president.
Yay.
Early voting is open in Georgia right now. It was apparently a record-setting day mm-hmm. for voting early. I want to tell you a couple of things. Regardless of your politics, you might want to vote early so that you can skip the lines on election day. I had to wait about half an hour in line. I think there was a big surge of people waiting for the first day. But you might want to do it so you're not in the long, long lines on November 5th. And technically, you can vote at any voting location in your county. Day of, you have to go to your specific place that you can look up on the Georgia government website, you know, your My Voter page. But in advance voting, you can vote anywhere that's close to you in your county. And then also legally, your work has to give you 2 hours off. Now, you have to give them reasonable notice. They can tell you what hours to go. If you just Google Pro Bono Partnership Atlanta, they have a whole document on voting leave for employees in Georgia that you can take a look at. But you have rights. You have to legally be allowed 2 hours to go vote. So go do your civic duty. It feels so good. I mean, when I got in there, first of all, shout out to Ben. My neighbor is the polling person who voted, like, took all my information. And then there was a Burt Show listener there, too, who said, hey, and I forgot her name, and I'm so sorry. But everyone is a volunteer. Everyone is so nice. And walking up and reading the names, I'm getting goosebumps because I think we take voting sort of as, like, a given in this country. But my family is originally British, a monarchy where you don't get to make those kind of votes. Now, England is still pretty good, but there are so many countries in the world where they don't have a say in their leadership. So to be able to go up and select the people that I feel like are going to best lead this country and our communities into the next chapter of American history, like, you're literally
making American history when you vote. I'm getting goosebumps. And I know this makes me weird, but I tear up every single time because when I go and hit those names, I'm like, I got to have a say. I got to choose our leaders and I got to choose the people who are going to make this country better and help it be the greatest in the world. And it's the most powerful country in the world. And I'm a part of choosing that leadership. So it's not just your duty to vote. It's a privilege to vote. So I really highly encourage you guys to get out there and cast your vote. And if you don't want to vote for something, don't check the box. But you have a voice. It deserves to be heard. So go use it.
Rebecca, guess if these ridiculous Gen Z beauty trends are real or fake.
So Gen Z loves an aesthetic.
We do.
Yeah, they love their eras and their cores. And I have noticed while flipping through my For You page that it seems like every single little micro trend, any beauty or makeup look, Gen Z will give it the cutest name possible for honestly the simplest looks ever. Like you can put on like blush in the middle of your cheek and they'll call it boyfriend blush. Like you wear a darker lip and they call it berry girl. It's very cute, but they don't seem to like makeup the way that like I liked makeup when I was growing up in 2014. They couldn't handle that.
Oh my gosh, no one can handle the 2016 YouTuber beat where you're baking your powder into your skin so you look airbrushed.
Oh, 2016 makeup, I had that down. The ABH eye palm, the eyebrow pomade, those black brows, don't go back on my Instagram. Don't go looking for it. We're not talking about it. But I noticed this, and for a couple weeks, I have saved every makeup micro trend name that I have passed on my For You page.
Okay.
And I have a list. I'm going to give you three names. Two of these Gen Z beauty trends are real, and one of them I made up.
Okay.
You guys tell me which one is fake. And Abby's going to go last because I feel like she might have an advantage with this game.
Just a little.
So if you'd like, you can also ask me for the origin of a name. And I will tell you from memory what the makeup looked like. So out of these three names, which one is fake? Coquette girl, mafia mob wife, corporate core.
Say the first one again.
Coquette girl.
And what is that?
Coquette girl is like bows, pink, very feminine. It's like a matte sort of like dusty. It's like your
Love Shack fancy.
Yes, very that.
All right, so I know the mafia was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is a real one. So it's between the coquette and what was the last one?
Corporate core.
Corporate core.
I'm going corporate core.
Is the fake one?
Is the fake one.
I think coquette's fake.
I think coquette's fake too.
Corporate core is fake.
Why don't y'all trust me?
All right, this next one. Fairy blood, mermaid core, or McBling?
Say them one more time, please.
Fairy blood.
Fairy blood?
Yes.
Can you elaborate, please?
Fairy blood is like this very, like, it's glitter, but it's like dark. It's like a goth fairy.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
And the next one?
Mermaid core.
Okay, that one's self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm. Or McBling.
And what is McBling?
McBling is sort of like this trashy Y2K aesthetic. It's like thin brows, very dark, smoky eye. Like, it's hard to explain, but it's like 2000s party girl.
Okay, I'm going to say fairy blood is the fake one.
I think McBling is.
I'm going fairy blood as well.
Fairy blood is fake.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey.
It sounds kind of cool, though.
I think it's cool.
Dark glitter. The name's weird, but dark glitter? Like, I can get it.
The Bird Show.
Mo, the word surprise seems pretty self-explanatory. So I am perplexed as to why a couple would have a debate over what constitutes a surprise in a relationship.
You and me both. I was just as confused as to how this turned into such a passionate debate at a dinner table. And I'm always fascinated by things in relationships that seem fairly obvious. And then when you start to speak about them, there's a clear split in how the men see it and how the women see it. And then you just start to debate like the silliest of things. And that's pretty much exactly what happened. So we're sitting around at dinner, and it's like one of those dinners where everybody is a couple. It's like four couples all hanging out, having a good time. At some point in the conversation, I don't remember how it came up, but the topic of how can men be more romantic in relationships came up and what the men at the table were doing in order to be romantic for their ladies. So everybody was kind of giving examples And I think when they ask me, I say one of the things I like to do that I know my lady loves and I know a lot of women love is the old, like, you know, be ready at 7. This is the dress code. You don't know where we going, but we going. So then that's when the talk of surprises came up. Like, that's a nice surprise in a relationship. So when I said that, one of my guys, his lady, looked at him like, why you don't do stuff like that? And then I knew I was in trouble because he's going to be mad at me for that, right? But I'm like, uh-oh, I didn't mean it. Like, here we go.
So I'm not going to lie. I'm sitting here thinking, man, that would be really nice if Bart did that. Like, just once. But you do have to recognize in your relationship, people have attributes, people have flaws, people have things they're good at, people have things they're not so good at. Because we can't be, like, perfect at everything. And that's not his forte. However, the idea of me coming home and him being like, I got us a babysitter, you know, go ahead, get dressed up. I'm taking you somewhere tonight.
Oof. Oh, I swoon. I'm swooning for you.
I know.
Secondhand swoon.
So that's exactly what happened amongst them. So then he says, what are you talking about? I just surprised you the other day. And she was like, no, you didn't. You never surprised me.
Oh, okay. Here.
So at this point, all of the other couples got in their seats and was like, I see what's about to happen here. So he said, he thought this was a surprise. So did I. All of the men did. The women were like, that is not even close to a surprise. So what he explained was, I guess...
I can't wait to hear this.
At random times, she will send him things that she's interested in, which I get. Like, my lady will do that, too. She'll send me, like, you know, it'll be, like, random things, like these shoes, this purse, this whatever. And she doesn't say, go get it. It's just like, you know, I like these. And my head tells me she's not asking me to get it, but she ain't going to be mad if I do. That's how I receive it, right? So what he said he did was he doesn't necessarily always get what she sends on the spot, but randomly, like if it's Christmas or whatever holiday, he'll just get it. And he feels like that's a surprise, like because you didn't ask me to get it, but I went out my way to get it. And next thing you know, it shows up, it's at your door. In her mind, it's not a surprise because it's not something that you just went and got and picked out yourself. Like, you went and got me something that I already sent you, which is nice, but it's not like a romantic surprise. And the men were like, what? Like, how does that not count? And the women was like, nah, that don't count. I got to do better.
Yeah, because, okay, this is where, like, mental load, emotional load comes in. If she had, and it, don't get me wrong, I think it's very sweet that he did that for her. But if the woman sent the text and was like, I like these shoes, I like this purse, whatever, and you went out and got them, I think it's a lovely gesture. I don't think it's a surprise because she still had to do the mental load of sending the text, letting you know what she likes.
I hard disagree. To me, a surprise is anything that happens that's out of the ordinary that you're not expecting. Mm-hmm. So for me, I got surprised this weekend by my dad for the first time, like kind of ever. My family's not big on these kinds of like special expensive surprises. If you're getting something expensive, it's probably because it's like on the Christmas list, you've been begging for it for 10 years, you paid for half of it, that kind of thing. And me and my dad were out shopping in the very expensive part of Chicago, and I'm thinking we're just browsing because we're not the kind of family that just like drops money like that. And we're at the Tory Burch store and I'm looking at a couple of purses and I'm thinking we're just kind of shopping for Christmas. And my dad goes, he's looking at me deciding between two bags and he goes, well, which one do you want? We'll go get it. And I'm like,
That's a surprise.
To me, that's a surprise because it's out of the ordinary. If my dad was the kind of person to just give me a bag because we went shopping, that's not a surprise. That's like, it would just be like, oh, that's just what my dad does.
So yeah, like we felt like, okay, I get it.
But see, that's a surprise. What his friend did is not.
But
they're different.
If he's surprising her with the item, I feel like if it's out of the ordinary. Now this
it's out the blue.
Yes, if it's out of the blue.
You didn't expect it.
But no, you just said she sends, like your lady sends texts letting you know. So obviously she has sent texts to him of things and he gets them, right?
But if you, like it's kind of, to me it's the same thing as if we walk past the store and you say, wow, I like that dress.
Yeah.
And then we just keep it moving, right? And then eventually, maybe a month later, that dress show up on the bed. And I remembered that you picked that dress out. That should count as a surprise to me.
Okay, yes.
It's a surprise to me because I think for it to not be considered a surprise, there's an element of entitlement. Like, you should have just got, I told you to get it, so you should have just gotten it for me.
That's how it feels.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, but then, see, so that's the thing. So, like, if you just happen to be walking down the street and you see something and you mention it and he files away, the issue I'm having is, like, she's actually sending him text messages, right? Like mm-hmm. sending him photos of things she likes. To me, that's like a gift wish list. So if you buy something off of that, it is a lovely, lovely mm-hmm. gesture.
I get what you're mm-hmm. saying.
But I don't feel like it's a surprise. So she's expecting it because she sent the text. She sent the text. So there's a level of expectation that you might get it. And uh-huh. that I don't think he's taken away from the surprise. I think she is by sending that text.
So it's not a surprise. Even if you were planned on buying it yourself.
Uh-huh.
But he got it, so you didn't have to.
Yeah.
You still wouldn't count that as a surprise.
Not if I sent the text to my husband.
That's so interesting.
I think it's the expectation that yes. is taking this. Like, you're sending it and you're like, okay, well, I'm expecting to get it. That why are you expecting to get it? I don't know. I think I'm having a hard time, like, wrapping my mind around it. Like, if I sent my mom, like, a very expensive pair of boots, like, I'm sending it to her just because I'm like, hey, if you ever wanted to get these for me, like, that would be a nice surprise. But when I send it, I am by no means thinking my mom is going to buy me those boots now. So when I get them, I'm like, she uh-huh. got me the boots.
Right. But I think her reaction, the fact that she doesn't think it was a surprise, she has this level of expectation when she sends those text messages that he should get those items.
That's exactly what it means.
So in all sincerity, I'm like, I'm still team him because I think she's the one that's making it a non-surprise.
So he should surprise her by not getting it.
Right.
The Burt Show. With Abby, it's the Burt Show's entertainment bus.
You can't win with women.
No.
All right, is Sabrina Carpenter putting a curse on some major sports teams? Now, I have already informed you all of the Tay Voodoo, mm-hmm. where if you mess with Taylor Swift, if you speak out against her publicly, the Tay Voodoo is going to rain down and something is going to happen to you. Well, it looks like Sabrina Carpenter might have picked up on a little bit of that dark magic because Kevin Clancy from Barstool Sports seems to think that she might be a bad luck charm.
You see this girl right here? Sabrina Carpenter? She's like 4'11", like 100 pounds of pure dark art, black magic.
Wow.
The Sabrina Carpenter curse is here, and from America to all around the world, she is destroying teams left and right with her jersey choices. It begins in the UK. Sabrina Carpenter performing in England, puts on the England kit, dances around, does her espresso bit. Next thing you know, they're in the Euros. They lose 2-1 to Spain, and guess what? It's never coming home. Now, fast forward to October 8th in Philadelphia. October 8th, she puts on the Phillies jersey. The next night, October 9th, game 4 of the DS. My Mets send the Phillies home, eliminated from the playoffs. Mere days later, October 11th, she puts on the Maple Leafs sweater. Guess what happens? Opening night, they get blanked 1-0. The Maple Leafs, with all the expectations in the world, lose their opening game. And then most recently, Sabrina Carpenter was walking around New York City wearing a Dallas Cowboys sweatshirt before they got rocked 47-9 on Monday Night Football.
Now it's personal.
Now it's personal. Nah, that curse gotta be reeled in.
The facts be factin'.
Yeah.
They do be factin'. So let me give you a heads up on who needs to be aware because these are her upcoming shows. So if you are a Tennessee Titans fan or maybe a Nashville Preds fan, she is performing tonight in Nashville, tomorrow St. Louis. St. Louis. I don't know why I just went all French on you.
No, you went Nelly.
St. Louis. I don't think there's any sports teams in Raleigh. Charlottesville. And then she's coming to Atlanta on October 22nd. So Falcons fans, watch out.
Falcons rolling right now, too. She needs to stay out of Atlanta.
Let's make a mental note. Let's keep track of this if we can and see if there is like any legitimacy. Because I don't think there's any legitimacy to a curse, but it is fascinating nonetheless.
They used to say the same thing about Drake. Like every time Drake would put on a jersey, that team would end up having a really bad season.
Maybe it's just the pressure. They're like, oh, Sabrina Carpenter, our pop queen, she's wearing her jersey. And they're like all pressurized for the next game.
Do you think the Maple Leafs gave two S's that she put on their jersey?
You think the Cowboys lost by 300 points because Sabrina Carpenter wore that? No.
It's a Sabrina Carpenter voodoo. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. All right, Maria. I said this off air.
That's what you get.
Backstory. When we need an audio request, I have to tell Tommy, hey, I need this person's audio. And I was like, hey, can I get the Maria Carey audio? And here I am on national radio saying we need the Maria Carey audio. So Mariah Carey, she just went on a tirade about one thing that she cannot stand when she walks into a room, and it's not other people, It's the overhead lighting.
Mm. Overhead lighting? I don't think so, honey. No, please no. Stop it. Every place I go, I shut the lights.
15
turn
seconds.
Them out. I don't want to see them no more.
Yes.
No okay. more, honey.
No
there's 10
more,
seconds.
Baby.
One more thing on
all right,
overhead
look,
lighting.
One more thing on overhead lighting. It makes me sick.
Well, you noticed when we had Kylie Minogue here,
mm-hmm.
all the overhead lighting was turned off.
I love that. That darkness feel, I don't know why, but that's my thing.
We got real moody and loungy up in this piece.
The Burt Show, real moody.
No, I love this, but I also think it's such an interesting thing with celebrities because they always look flawless and airbrushed in photos. And you're like, oh, they just must, there's something in the celebrity water. They must just be looking a lot better than me. But no, it's just the lighting. Mm-hmm. And I am a testament to this. Because on Friday, I posted a selfie of myself in the bathroom that for some reason people went insane over. They're like, what did you do? You look so different. Is it the contour? Drop the makeup routine, queen. And I'm like, it's literally just this bathroom lighting. Like, this lighting just looks amazing. Like, see me on the Burt Show Facebook page. I look crusty, dusty, musty. Like, it's just the overhead lighting that does you dirty. All right, if you are still looking out for a Halloween costume for the next couple of weekends, because next weekend is the first weekend of the Halloween season. I've already got my costume ready to go. I'm very excited.
What are you doing?
I can't tell you. I want it to be a surprise.
Oh.
But I will tell you, the girl that I am doing the duo with, me and her collaborating on it, it is going to go down in Atlanta history as one of the greatest I will say we are going to look so iconic because it's perfect for a couple of reasons. It's perfect because it is on trend right now with what's cool right now. But me and her are also perfect for the role. Like, we look like who we're dressing up as.
You fit the part.
We fit the part. So I will tell you what these top trending costumes are on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hands down, the most important thing we are going to discuss today, and that is, what is Abby going to wear on her date with London Boy?
There's a lot of options.
There are so many options. And we cannot screw this up.
My vote is for nothing.
Oh,
hey,
Cassandra.
Hey,
it's 50 degrees there. I need to at least wear something.
All right, so, Abby, what has been going through your mind as you are packing for your trip to go see London Boy? The guy you met the last time you were over there, had this epic date mm-hmm. with, and now you are going back for round number two.
I know. I'm like, how am I going to top it? Because I wore what every woman knows as the quintessential perfect first date outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a long sleeve, off the shoulder top, a nice pair of jeans, and a low heel that's easy to walk in. And it's perfect. You look good. It's chic. It's stylish. It's revealing in like a sensual way, but you're not showing too much skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I already wore that, so what do you wear on number two? And now it's cold, so I'm like, I've got to wear a jacket. And everyone knows a jacket can always ruin the outfit if you've got a really fun top on. So I'm freaking out.
Okay, so you have sent all of us the proposed outfits that you're going to wear.
I have.
We're going to go through them one by one.
Mm-hmm.
I already have a favorite.
I know which one. I can already tell. I know which one you guys are going to say.
Yes.
And I'm already ready to defend why I'm not going to wear that one.
Okay.
But I am very intrigued to hear what you guys are going to say.
All right.
And some of these, by the way, are the same outfit, but some of them have the jacket over it because uh-huh. it's important because it's going to be cold.
Okay. So you're going to go through and we're going to share all these outfits with Burt Show listeners mm-hmm. and they can weigh in on which outfit they think you should wear on your date with London Boy.
Okay. Which one? I can't tell which one's the first for everyone.
So the first one is the checkered shirt okay. with the cropped white jacket and flared jeans.
So the first outfit I have is a pair of dark wash jeans with pockets on the front with a gold thread detailing that accents the more neutral tones in the brown and the dark brown and light brown checkered shirt that is under a cropped light beige blazer with cuffed sleeves. And I have a pair of pointed toed booties that are in a dark brown shade.
Big fan of this outfit, by the way.
Thank you.
This is my favorite by far.
Really?
That's fire.
See, so this one is in the lead for me as well.
That's shocking to me.
This one was my favorite out of all the outfits.
Uh-huh.
However, there's one that is a very close second.
Okay, I'll be interested because this is not the one I thought you guys were going to like. And maybe it's because when I put it on, I didn't feel that good in it. And so when I'm looking at it, I'm going,
No, because I don't feel super comfortable in this one.
Now, full disclosure, if you don't feel comfortable in something, don't wear it. But this,
it's a fit. No, it's not to say that I wouldn't wear it at all during my time in London, but I don't know if this is the vibe I'm going for.
Yeah, it's a great outfit. It is not my favorite.
Okay, the second one is a black bodysuit. It's a black turtleneck bodysuit with a plaid pleated kind of like schoolgirl skirt with a pair of black sheer tights and knee-high heeled black boots. And then if you flip to the right, you'll see my long oversized black blazer that kind of covers up the whole outfit. So it's like very demure.
So this one was a very, very, very close second.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I like this one a lot.
This is the one I thought you guys were going to say was your favorite.
I like this one a lot. Oddly, excuse me, the jacket, I'm not a fan of the jacket. I actually like the sweatshirt better.
Oh.
However, on a date with the sweatshirt, that's going to be awkward to take off.
That's what I was thinking. So if you flip to the next photo, I have a an oversized black sweater over it that kind of hangs over the skirt a little bit. And to me, I just didn't think that this was flattering enough for a second date.
Oh my God, that's my favorite. Because
really?
It says, I'm fun, I'm casual, I have style with the pleated skirt, but the oversized sweater makes it look cash for the pubs.
Okay, that's good.
It's not trying too hard.
Because I also don't know where we're going. Like, are we going to a pub or is he going to take me to a nice cocktail bar?
And if you're wearing the black bodysuit under that, you could take the sweatshirt off. Yeah, that's weird looking, but at the same time, that black bodysuit underneath is going to give you that flexibility. But it's going to be cold in London, too. So that, to me, gives, I care, but I don't care enough.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of what I want to give.
Well, this one to me, I was like, that's a Taylor Swift outfit if I ever saw one.
Yeah, I literally stole that outfit from her. Uh-huh. Except this one's from Old Navy instead of, Lueve, wherever
she
gets her outfits.
But again, you need to practice. If you're going to do that, and if you do get hot and you want to show off the more figure-formed, bodysuit underneath, it's hard to look cute taking a sweatshirt off like that.
Oh, I would go to the bathroom.
Bathroom, okay.
But it's also a sweater. It's pretty light. Like, it wouldn't be crazy hard.
I'm actually thinking about that. I'm actually picturing in my head, how would you be able to take that off and actually, look cool doing it?
But it looks so cute with the arms draped over, very preppy. If you needed to take it off, draped over your shoulders.
Wow, I can do that. All of the thought. It's unbelievable.
Okay. Plus, the skirt is nice access.
Wait, there's one more outfit, Tommy.
Yeah, no.
Well, actually, there's two more outfits.
Uh-huh.
So the next one is a long sleeve brown bodysuit with a pair of Farm Rio vintage style jeans. So it's giving kind of 70s flair with some embroidery patches over them.
Too cash for the date.
Too cash. Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is what you wear to the art galleries the next day when y'all hang out.
Oh, okay. And then I have a leather jacket to wear over it.
I actually like those pants better with the white button up.
Okay.
I think there's something so sexy about a woman in a white button up.
Okay.
I agree.
This is giving business casual. This is not the direction I expected you guys to go.
I love the white button up, but again, it is kind of business casual. It feels almost too put together. Not to say that the other outfits don't look put together, but the brown looks like I would wear this daily, and the white button up looks like I'm trying.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
There's something about a white button up that I think is so sexy. Mo?
I agree completely. I love the white button up on a lady.
This is so crazy because the brown one was the one I was planning to wear, and now I'm flipped on my head because you all hate it.
What are we going to do?
You look lovely in all of them, but I think if I had to vote, the first outfit, the very first one, is my pick with the dark denim jeans and the checkered shirt.
Okay.
And then the next would be the skirt outfit.
Okay.
Mine is definitely sweater with the skirt first and then the brown with the jeans. But I honestly think there is one person here whose vote matters the most, and it is the red-blooded male sitting to my left.
Yes. Hello.
Because you're not trying to date me and Kristen. You're trying to date a dude.
Hello, man.
I like that first one. I like that first one a lot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's fitting.
Yeah. Oh. Maybe that's okay, I got to see where he's taking me because I don't know if I can wear that to a pub. But if we're going somewhere fancy.
How easy are those jeans to get off?
Hey.
Let's say
The Burt Show.